Thanks, guys, so much for leading us, and thanks for joining in and worshiping together. This week, or not so much this week, in the past few months, I've done something that I've never done before, and I just didn't know what to do. I felt like, should I do this? Should I not do this? What does this mean relationally with people? I'm going to do this. I'm worn out. I'm sitting at Turnip Truck, which is a organic little grocery store that has great little food. There's one in the Gulch. There's one in East Nashville. I laugh because last week Josh and Jason and I were going to hang out at Turnip Truck. We even sent the map out, and I showed up where the map was, and they were at the other one. So it was like relationally, they're ghosting me right here. This is happening, you know what I mean? It is going on. But this isn't what I was thinking about. So I'm sitting at Turnip Truck by myself. I'm having a smoothie. They have good smoothies in there at a good cost. And I have my computer up, and I begin to unfollow people on Facebook. I had never done that before, and I was feeling terrible about it. And I thought, how can I get them out of my feed? I mean, what is going on? I mean, are we going to rant all the time about everything in life? I mean, I get it. What's going on? At our home, we do this. When our kids were young, this meant obey first time. So if we're out in public and something's going on, we do this, and they go, oh, okay, obey first time. And then they got a little older. This meant first world issue. A couple weeks ago, I did this to Story, and she went, am I supposed to obey first time, or is it a first world issue? I don't know what it is. But it's like, I understand there's real world issues, but what is going on? I thought about that as I was unfollowing. Last week, I was traveling to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'd come out of my hotel room, go down and eat breakfast in the morning. They'd have news channel on really loud so that none of us could talk during breakfast. And so it's on really loud, and it was like, wah, 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 wah. Not that I don't appreciate news, but it was wah. And I thought, what is going on? Where's the remote? And I thought, I'm not at my own home. Can I do this? I'm doing it anyway. I found the remote and just muted it. And everyone came in, and we all just ate without the noise of the television until a hotel worker came back in and unmuted it, which is fine. Wah, 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 wah. And I thought, what is going on? Did you ever think something is broken within the human spirit? I mean, you don't have to be a futurist or a cultural researcher to study culture around you and know something's wrong with us. I mean, go through the line at your grocery store and look at all the relational issues and that means you have to stand in line, not just check out. All the relational issues that are communicated on the magazine so that you and I will read about relational funkiness. It doesn't seem, though, whatever we accumulate, whatever success we experience, whoever's in political office, who we're in relationship with, what our social media feed states, how many likes we have, it seems like we still feel lacking, like something is wrong. So in a sense, what I find for students, for adults alike, we live our lives with the hope that this next step, this next day, this next week, this next year will quiet the contentment issues that we have and give us contentment and quiet the darkness and the noise that seems all around us. We might not ever use this phrase, but it's like we're longing for a little bit of hope in something. Andrew DeBalchio, professor of Columbia University, states it this way: hope is the way we overcome. There's a lurking suspicion that all our getting and spending amounts to nothing more than fidgeting while we wait for death. One of his cohorts in the academia world says, Michael Hoshka says, hope depends on finding some end to be pursued more extensively than a merely instant desire. Anthropologist Clifford Getz said it this way: if you have no hope, if you don't have anything bigger than your own selfish desires and needs that you're living for, something that you're sacrificing for, something bigger than yourself, you really don't have any hope.
Tim Keller, pastor in New York City, alludes to it this way. He says, hope means human beings are absolutely shaped by their understanding of the future. Movement in the past, movement in the future. What you believe the future to be completely shapes how you are living now. So there's this kind of longing within all of us. This longing, and then there's this darkness that eats away at us. But in the scripture that we read, it seems that Jesus came to overcome the darkness. But if we were really, really open and honest, and we were really paying attention around us, and we were very vulnerable, we might say, it just doesn't seem like it though, does it? It just doesn't seem like it. So how can you and I be confident that Jesus has overcome the darkness? If you have your Bibles, let's dig in together the scripture in the book of John, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. A little bit of context, if you're a guest here this morning, you're pursuing the things of God, curious about the things of God, or somebody just brought you because they're going to feed you lunch, and that's cool as well, all right? All that's good. Know that God's primary purpose on earth, that means Jesus coming in flesh and bone, was not judgment, but to display his love by rescuing people and bringing them back into a relationship with him, by overcoming the darkness, by giving hope. God brought with him life, not just existence, but life. And we're going to see this in this passage, John chapter 1. And I'll pause for a moment here. We're going to read a lot this morning, all right? So just hang with me because it's a spectacular flow and rhythm in Scripture of the story of the movement of God through the lives of Jesus and individuals. I'd like you to think, as we're reading these first few passages, not only what's going on, but who are they about? John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We'll pause right there. We're going to be very remedial this morning, very easy. So when we read, I want us to think really who the writer is writing about. First five verses, who is he writing about? Jesus, all right? He's writing about Jesus. The first five verses, if you want to get really theological and put some terms in there, you would say it's about the deity of Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning. He came in flesh and bone to take up residence among humanity. Verse 6. Now think about who he's talking about. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. Okay, he gives it away, all right? Verse 6. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Pause for a moment. First five verses, Jesus. Next few verses, John. You might think, well, man, I've never really dug into Scripture before. John who? Many in this congregation right here in this room know him as John the Baptist. How, if you're a guest in here, it's not a denominational affiliation, okay? There wasn't like John the Lutheran cruising around, okay? John the Pentecostal, John the Presbyterian, John the Anglican. That's not what it was. It was a little bit based on what he did. John was a baptizer. I'm okay with whatever you call me. I really, really am. This morning, there's a person in the room that always calls me Pastor Gary ever since I've known her, and that's okay. So I said, what do you do for a living? And she said, this or this. And I said, well, I'm going to start calling you that. She's like, what? That and your name, you know? Like if you're an electrician, Electrician Jim. That's what I'm going to call you, you know? I really am. Accountant Josh. I'm going to do that. They're like, Gary, it's kind of respect for you, Pastor Gary. I said, I'm okay. And you can call me Pastor Gary. I have no issues with that at all. But my name is Gary. And in the real world, let's just call each other by name. We don't say this. Pharmacist Ben, you know. We don't do that. We just say it's Ben. It is Ben. That's who that is. So John the Baptist is how we would know him. First few verses, Jesus. Next few verses, John. Now, this is where it gets really, really funky. And I know it sounds a little strange to say that in the scripture, but it gets really weird. Think about it for a moment. Look at what we're reading. Verse 9. The true life, which gives life to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people. They did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but God. First few verses, Jesus. Next few verses, John. Next few verses, Jesus. John 1:14. He continues to talk about Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It means takes up resident among us, throws a tent up among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from God, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me, he ranks before me, because he was before me.'" Verse 15. Now Jesus. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me, he ranks before me, because he was before me.'" Verse 16, "For from his fullness we all have received grace upon grace. Now the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God, the only God who's in the Father's side, he has made him known." We'll pause right there. You're like, what has happened? Before medication, all right? It's like an ADHD world right there. Jesus, John, Jesus, John, Jesus, John. And you're thinking, why is the writer writing like this? He introduces Jesus, then he stops and introduces John, then he finishes with introduction of Jesus, and then goes back to John. What is he doing? What is going on here? Know this, long before Jesus was born as a man, long before Jesus was born as a virgin, long before the New Testament was written, God established this means of communication. He had this pattern of interacting with people. And his method of interacting with people, of what we would say is communicating the good news, would be through human beings who with their mouths, who with their lives would be an instrument of the power of God. It's woven throughout Scripture. And we see it woven throughout John chapter 1. Look back at John 1, verse 4. So Jesus is born and, verse 4, in him was life. Not just existence, but life. And the life was the light of men. That light gives light to lives, not just existence, but gives life. The light shines in the darkness, in the what's going on time, in the funky times, in the clunky times, in the struggling times, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, after that, John comes on the scene. Verse 6 again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Wow. We just read a lot of Scripture. A lot of truth. A lot of depth. Do you see what's going on right there in John chapter 1? He's once and for all broken the darkness. And I love how a phrase that a pastor, Matt Chandler, said so many years ago, and a songwriter wrote a few years later, communicated this. He said he's broken the darkness, and not only in breaking the darkness, he's going to push the darkness out of the world. And he's going to push the darkness out of the world, not by audibly speaking from the sky, but by rescuing men and women and bringing them into relationship with him, by empowering their mouths, their lives, and their stories, so that sons and daughters, there might be a legacy of people that, as Matt Chandler and James Tillian writing a song communicate, that we might be a part of God's movement by pushing out the darkness. There's two passages I don't have for the screen, but I'd love to read this to you. And Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." It's from the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Jesus is getting ready to go be with the Father. He's interacting with a few of his close, interesting individuals right there that have been following him for a good length of time. And he says to them, this is what I have for you. I want you to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. I want you to tell the story of what it means to be rescued, what it means to be in a relationship. Then I long for you to come alongside them, teach them how to walk and live to the ways of the Father. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I'm going to be with you to the ends of the age. Jesus also said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Yes, this thing got broken. It's called crisis. It's called sin. When humanity went its own way. And what we see right here with Jesus and John and Jesus and John and Jesus is God communicating to us, go be my mouthpiece. Go be my instrument through which my power flows. Push back the darkness. Now, I know there's ramifications for that. And I'd love for you to think this way. If you're a family in here and you've got kids, you're like, oh, I think I could think this way. But maybe you don't have a family and you think growing up. So in the summers at our house, we have a variety of things that we engage in. There are so many, I thought, I'm going to put them down, all right? So at our house in the summer over the last 7 years, kids, you can think about this. What do you do in the summer? Students, you can think about what do you do in the summer? Adults, you're like, I wish I had a summer like that, you know? That's where we think. I just want vacation. I want the old school vacation. I put down, here's what happens at our house. We watch TV. We play games. Not really me. I think I've shared. I don't like board games. So everybody plays. I like to drink coffee and go, hey, good, 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 good. That's what I do. I'm serious. I have a lot of issues. That's one of them right there. I love to hang out with friends in the summer. I love when the sun is up late. I love to go to Jenny's Ice Cream and do that late. I love to do that in the summer. I love to hang out with friends as they're engaged in instruments. This is what we've done in our house. We're on instruments. We're on computer. We cook. We play puzzles. We hang out in the yard. We spend time with our dog. We have a great, great, unbelievable, amazing, spectacular time with their parents. That's not me. We engage in video games. We go to the YMCA. We go to the pool at the YMCA. We spend time with each other and with friends. There's more to do today than there ever has been in the course of our world. But still, in the midst of the summer, not halfway through, not at the end, about 3 days in, my family would come to me and say, Dad, there's so much going on. No, they wouldn't say that. They would look at me and say, Dad, help me out. I'm okay if you speak to me on this. I am, they say I'm bored. They say I'm bored. I try not to go all dad and just get ticked, but I did one day and I said, are you bored? That word is not acceptable in our home, okay? You've learned other words that aren't acceptable. Bored is not acceptable either. Each time you use the word bored, you will head to the backyard and you will pull weeds. I'm serious. Now, at that time, I didn't have a very nice yard. And they would say, Dad, what's a weed? I said, pretty much everything. Just pull away. Pull away. I did have a dog at that time, so I'd say, but watch in your pulling, okay? Maybe gloves, I don't know. One day, I came home, and I looked in the backyard, and my wife was back there. And I said, what's going on? Mom said she was bored, Dad. So we sent her to the backyard. I'm like, she's enjoying that downtime. That's downtime for her. There's more to do today than there ever has been in the course of history. More movies to see, more music to listen to, more sports to play. Why are we so bored? Could it be that you and I were created as we fall in the ways of the Father to push back against the darkness? But instead of doing so, we just become studiers of it. We just read about it. We just sit around a table in a class and engage in it. Could it be that you were given everything about yourself, your looks, your personality, your cash, your resources, everything about you? Now, I know for me, there's a lot of things about me I don't like. I've shared a few times I have a wandering right eye. I'm okay now. I just hate if I have to get surgery. I don't like that. But when I was in high school, I hated it, man. When I was in college, I didn't like it. When I was in student ministry, I would struggle. I'd be talking to the students. They're like, are you looking at me? I'm like, yes, I'm looking at you. It's just my eye that's not looking at you, okay? But could it be everything about us that we struggle with and that we don't struggle with has been given to us by the Creator for the primary purpose
pushing back what's dark. And if you've missed it, or somewhere we've communicated to you that this is it, this is it in this room, then we've missed it. We are called to gather, worship God. Iron sharpens iron. We need to be together. But it is out there. It's not just right here. Which is why I think so many of us are bored. Could we get on with how God's designed us and the mission He's called us to? I think about it for students. It's why students are so bored. It's why adults are so bored. It's why we shape our lives by things that don't give full hope but that are frivolous for a moment. So how would you push back the darkness? Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I really believe when you leave, you're going to know that. John, chapter 1. About Jesus and about John. Look what John did. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. That's Jesus. That all might believe through him. That people might go, oh, we see what you're saying. We understand that God came in flesh and bone to rescue humanity. Verse 8, he was not the light, that's John, but he came to bear witness about the light. We are to bear witness. Now, bear witness is not a word that or term or phrase that I normally use. It means to show, to communicate that something is true, that it exists. So you and I, fellowship, you and I, guests, are to push back the darkness by bearing witness. Now, how do we do that? What does that look like within our lives? We can look right back at John. The first way he did it was verbally. Very simple. He told his story. Sitting right here in this room today are those that came to know Christ, meaning you even trust your life. You confess that Jesus is Lord and you are not anymore. At all kind of different ages. Some of you 5, some 12, some 17, some 21, some 28, some 70. All kind of different stories in this room. And some of us in this room, you had a life that you think, it hadn't been that difficult. It's been really good. And for some of you, you've really struggled. You have difficult family situations, difficult work situations. For some reason, those things are there. Some of us in this room are really, really rich. And some of us, we don't have a lot of money. It's just true. Some of us in this room are black, some are white, some are Asian, some are Hispanic, some are many colors in between. But there's one thing that many of us have in common, that we've exchanged our story, meaning my life's not going to be about myself anymore, but my life's going to be about God's story. So I've confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that I am not. I believe that he was buried, that he came back to life, and I've given my life to him. That's our story. That is our story. Think about two unique characters in Scripture. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, we know him like this. He was once a thief, now he's not. That's his story. If you and I had 30 seconds to share going up an elevator and somebody said, hey, what's the deal with Zacchaeus? I don't know, man. He used to rob people like crazy. Now he doesn't. You know what happens? Curiosity. 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 What about the Samaritan woman? The Scripture, I don't know. She was a loose living young lady. I would never say it that way, but my mom would, okay? I would probably use other language right there when I'm thinking about the crowd that's in the room. She sleeps with a lot of guys. She tries to find her identity in sexual endeavors. But now she's not anymore. What? No, no. She's done that forever. I mean, Jonathan, I appreciate you driving the crew in Bible study this morning. We've got to go there. What is up with Kanye? I love this. Years ago, he says he was God. Now he's saying Jesus is King. It's all I know. It's all I know.
See, the earlier followers only knew a little bit about Jesus. Very little. They knew what they had learned from the Old Testament that passed. This is what they knew. He's the most amazing person I've ever met. And he's claiming to be Messiah. They did debate. Nothing wrong with having conversations and apologetics. But they did debate a lot. They just encourage others. Why don't you go see for yourself? I saw research last night. The word Christianity is at its highest mark this week that it's been in years. Why? I mean, come on. Kanye says he once was God, but now he's not. They were curious about the things of the Father. Bob Deffenbaum, a pastor, a theologian, says this: I fear one might say that new believers too quickly learn not to bear witness. Once we've given our life to Christ, then we don't bear witness. I don't see that for Kanye. I don't see that for the Samaritan woman. I don't see that for Zacchaeus. I don't see that woven throughout Scripture. He goes on to say, I fear that these new believers are swept into, this is Bob Deffenbaum's words, and I don't know if I would totally disagree with him. I fear these new believers are swept into the church, the community of faith, and they're encouraged not to return to their old associates, lest they be tempted to return to their old sinful lifestyle. Could you imagine Jesus saying to the Samaritan woman, I know you've been sleeping with a lot of guys, so what I would share with you is not go back to that people group ever again. No, she goes back and says, I don't even know all that happened, but I want you guys to come and explore. Zacchaeus, the same way, he interacts. Bob Deffenbaum also says, pretty soon, their unsaved friends are gone and their new friends are all Christ followers. The woman at the well went immediately to her friends and acquaintances with the good news about Jesus. I have a good friend that DJs in Nashville, and he gave his life to Christ. And he said to me, should I stop DJing? I'm like, what? Well, I thought once you gave your life to Christ, you don't do any of the things that you've done in the past. I said, hey, give your life to Christ, and God's going to pave a way for you to share his story. He's like, but I DJ in the clubs downtown. I said, what club? He's like, I don't think you're hanging out at this club, Gary. And I said, I might be, man. I can go. I can club, baby. He's like, no, you can't. No, you can't. I said, well, I'll tell you what. This is what I think our role is. You keep DJing, and you DJ at the club, and four or five of us that are part of the community, we'll start hanging out at the club with you. He's like, are you serious? I said, it's going to be amazing, isn't it? We did. The club owner said, Pastor Gary. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Club owner Jimmy, okay? What are you doing here? I said, man, so-and-so just gave his life to Christ. We're in here just hanging out with all you guys. All right. Excellent, man. It's very dark. The DJ, push back the darkness. See, the word gospel means good news. It's the central story woven throughout the scripture. It's the story of rescue, renewal. For John, he communicated with his mouth by telling his story. You're Christ follower. God's called us to do that. Doesn't mean you have to sit up here. You can do that. It's cool. But he's called you. But bearing witness goes beyond telling your story. It also includes your life. It includes your life. See, John wanted to live in such a way that his life displayed the story that he told. His life, he lived in a way that displayed the story that he told. He was a forerunner for Jesus. He communicated to the people, Jesus is coming. Repent and believe in God. The people who were around him were known as John's disciples. In a minute, we'll see what happened to them. John 1, verse 35 says it this way. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. So he's got guys that have followed around him. He'd said, repent, be about the kingdom of God, believe in God. So they started following, they started leaning his teaching. Then in verse 36, he looked at Jesus, he's walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The one that brings hope, the one that takes away the sin of the world, the one that ultimately pushes out darkness. John's words and his life told a story. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You should be called Cephas, which means Peter. John's words told a story. His life told a story to Andrew. Andrew's words told a story, and his life told a story, and he's brought his brother Simon to Jesus. Our lives tell a story. However, is your life matching up with your story? Could it be that for some of us, on a continual basis, because we'd all say there's different points of time my story doesn't match up our words, and we need to be open and honest about that. But can we say on a continual basis our story doesn't match up with what we say? Think about it this way, in how you handle your dating, in how you handle your marriage, do your words and your story match up? How you handle your friendships, how you handle your Instagram posts, how you handle your social media, how you handle your relationship with your family, how you handle your parents, how you handle your money, how do you interact with your teachers, how do you interact with your coworkers, how you drive. My wife's not here this morning. She would be like, look at you right there. How you handle life. You see, our story is important. It gives value and worth to our words. We cannot separate our story from our life because our lives are being read. How do we bear witness? Through sharing our story, how we live our story. And the third part, I think it's inevitably woven through here, on how we bear witness, which I think is linked together, is what we do with our resources. It's been years ago, I was looking for a couch. Got on Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, looking for a couch, and this is what I saw. I posted a sectional couch, sectional modern couch. That's what I wanted, a couch that went all around our den so we could just have a lot of people hang out on. I saw this. I'm a counselor in Nashville, and I've got an immediate need for beds. I thought, what is this? I'm looking for a sectional couch. But I was curious to the story of others. People will continue to be curious about the story of life and hope. It's the reason God called us to bear witness to our story, verbally, through our lives. A family I work with has a handicapped father who has just had his hours cut at work and is barely able to keep food on the table for them. I have posted recently on Craigslist asking for beds and received a generous donation of clothes. Now I found another family in need of beds and thought I would try. I need a mattress, maybe a box spring, maybe a frame, single, small, twin, double. The beds are needed for children and the area is small. Please let me know if you can help out. Please make a difference for this family. So I read that and it just created this tension. I'm looking for a couch. I'm not wanting to spend a lot. I'm on Craigslist. But how much would a bed cost? Like maybe it would be better for me not to get a couch but to get a bed. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe that's the tension. Maybe that's attention. We interacted and shared with a group of people, and Elizabeth said, I've got three beds at our house. I'm like, really? Where? In my kids' rooms. Seriously. They slumber party a bunch. And so what I'm going to do is just roll out a big mat, and they can slumber party for a couple weeks till we get other beds. So listen, can you come by and pick up the beds? Elizabeth was not a follower of Christ, but she was curious to the followers of Christ, and she wanted to help others. And I thought, oh my, I got to have tension on this. I'm wrestling with this. Because here's Elizabeth that hasn't entrusted her life to Christ, but she's pushing back the darkness. So I have to think for myself, what am I doing with my life that will last forever? What are we doing with our lives that will last forever? What are we doing with our money? What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our resources? What are we doing with our talent? What are we doing with our ability? What could happen if we figured out what we're here for? This is good. We need to worship. We need to gather. We need to grow in the ways of the Father. But this isn't it. This is shaping for it. Maybe our souls would be filled. We would lean into hope. We wouldn't be so bored, and our intriguing things wouldn't be financial, success, pornography, relationships in an unhealthy way. And we would find as we fall in the ways of God, and that as we push back the darkness in reference to the gifts and abilities that God has given us, maybe we would stop being so bored. Why do you think we've been given all the resources we've been given, the voice that we have, and the life that we have? We weren't designed to be Cinderellas living in a castle, coming out to interact with those that aren't in the castle.
you and I were designed by the Father to be engaged with. Caesar Kowalski makes a statement. He says, when the world asks, where's God? What is he like? And what is he really up to? God answers back, look at my church. Beds are needed. Love is needed. Attention is needed. The story of Jesus to be told is needed. If God's method of operation is to speak through people, he's calling you to speak. And know if you're here this morning, God's method of operation is to speak through people. Could it be today? The Creator is speaking through his words, calling you to give your life to him. Maybe it's through the friend that invited you here this morning. Maybe it's through godly neighbors, godly parents. And the call of Jesus will get so loud and so soft at the same time, it will be difficult to ignore it. You might even think this morning, why is Gary yelling so much? How much coffee has he had? Maybe it is me a little bit. But maybe it's the call of the Father. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. And he testified about the light. There was a man by the name of Josh, Jason, Jonathan, Eric, Oliver, Derek, Chad, Harry, Grant, Joel, Brennan, Ben, sent by God to tell the story of the Father. There's a woman sent by God, her name is Casey, Angela, Jody, Jessica, Meredith, Julie, Lena, Blair, Shauna, Sarah, Julianne, Story, Johnny, were called to testify about the light. And your name as well. Who in your life is in need of strength and refreshment? Who in your life is in need of Jesus and the love of the Father? How can you become more purposeful in interacting? What are you doing with your life that'll last forever? May we together ascribe to God's call for our life, push back the darkness. Maybe for you this morning, you're overwhelmed with darkness. And you hear the voice of the Father, and he's saying to you, confess me as Lord and not yourself, and you will be saved. Maybe this morning for you, it's saying, I don't want to be about myself anymore, but I give my life to you. Maybe for you this morning, it's God, strengthen me as we push back the darkness. Won't you pray with me? Father, I do thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. Thank you for your movement and work across time and pushing back the darkness. Continue to push back the darkness through our lives, Father. Shape us, rearrange us into your image for the sake of others. We thank you, Father, for overcoming the darkness and surrounding us with life. In your name we pray.